Well, we're going to continue in these lessons on the good fight of faith. I'm strongly impressed to share this, and I'm strongly impressed and moved to continue this. I believe this is where the fight is. It's a good fight, and we need to look at what the Bible has to say about this. This may not excite you today, it may not. It excited me because it answers some questions where every one of us have walked through some things. And if you would, let's jump over to 1 Timothy chapter 6, if you would. First Timothy chapter 6, and look at verse 12. And we're going to look at some, strategies and reasons, for the fight, and also we're going to look at how to fight. You know, we don't want to take, the devil is defeated. He's been whipped, he's been disarmed, but and positionally, he's under our feet. He's already been defeated. But he has one element called deception. And if he can deceive you into thinking some things, then he can do what? He can strip you, rob you, destroy you from the things that are rightfully yours. So you do have an enemy. And he has some strategies, and we need to know what those strategies are and how to fight against that. You need to know who your enemy is. We know that's the devil, but we need to know what his strategies are and how to confront those. And I believe that when you get done listening to these messages, and it may do you well to go back and to listen to these, and feed upon them, because there's one thing that we know: God is love, and the devil is the opposite of that. He's hate, and everything about hate, and he hates everything that represents God and anything that has been accomplished in Christ. He hates that. He hates you because you're what? He doesn't just hate you. He hates the one in you because it's no longer you that live, but it's Christ who liveth in you. He hates Christ in you. You know, people take it personal. Why is all this stuff happening to me? It's not personal. It's no longer you that liveth, but it's Christ that liveth in you, and he's the one that he hates, the one living in you. And so we need to know that and keep that in mind. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. This isn't a flesh carnal thing. This is a spiritual thing. And we're fighting a spiritual fight. And we need to know how to fight. Otherwise, you're just going through life in a fantasy. You see, you're just waking up in the morning, go through life, and go to your J-O-B, and a lot of times you're getting whooped, and you don't even know why. But God has given us some insight where? In his written word as to who we're fighting against and how to fight. And so, let's join in a brief word of prayer and center our thoughts and our minds that we're going to walk away from this lesson spiritually more knowledgeable, more revelation in God's word, and we're going to be more successful in how we fight this good fight of faith. That we're going to come up a little bit higher in our fight with the adversary and his wiles and deceits. Father, we thank you for your holy written word. Thank you that it is truth, it is light, it will show us the way, because you are the truth and you are the way. So that means your word is the way. There is no other way to fight this fight of faith but through your written word and by your Spirit. So we ask you, Holy Spirit, to reveal and unfold and reveal to our hearts and our minds revelation that we hadn't seen before, an understanding on how to fight this good fight of faith and be successful. And we thank you for that. Thank you for your assistance today, Holy Spirit. We look to you, and we thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now let's read 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. It says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Hallelujah. The Phillips translation says, "Fight the worthwhile battle of faith." This is a battle of faith, but it's a worthwhile battle. Why? Because we win. And we've been given insight into our strategies. You know, think about this. Some of you who may know a little bit of history, you look back and you look at when the United States may have been at war, when they were at war with Germany and so forth. What did they try to do? They tried to intercept information about their enemy so that they could know what their strategies were and how to confront them, how to be one step ahead. Oh, well, we got that. We've got it right here. We can be always a step ahead of the devil because God has shown us his strategies. And for the things that might be coming against us, we have a what? We have a helper. So even if I didn't understand something, I've got the Holy Spirit in me to warn me, to alert me. He says, he will guide me. He will lead me into what? All truth. He's going to lead me and show me what's true and what's not true. He's going to show me what's a deception, what's a lie. See, so somebody can come here and quote a scripture to you, but it may not be from a heart. It may be somebody who's trying to deceive you, right? Even though they quote a scripture, that's wonderful, but there may be deception in a person's heart. But the Holy Spirit will show you what's true. That's why, yes, we have the scriptures, but we've not been left comfortless. We have a helper. Hallelujah. So we can always be ahead, not behind. Glory to God. So, the New Living, it says, "Fight the good fight of faith, for the true faith, hold tightly," see, "to the eternal life which God has called you to, which you have declared so well before many witnesses." And the Amplified says, "Fight the good fight of faith in the conflict with evil." This is a conflict. If you didn't realize it, it's a conflict. So you can see from 1 Timothy 6, when it says, fight the good fight of faith. This is a fight, but it's a good fight. So this is a fight. It's something we have to lay hold on. It's talking about fighting. It's talking about gripping or holding on to. And it's also talking about a good profession or a good confession. So it's talking about those three things. And so there's a lot of ideas. This is the key. There's a lot of ideas, I would say, in Christendom about what spiritual warfare is. Would you say amen to that? People got a whole lot of ideas about what spiritual warfare is, even among, when I say different groups and different Christian groups, they all got different ideas about what spiritual warfare really is. But I would say that if we want to know what is true spiritual warfare, we're going to have to go to the Word of God, not what someone's idea is. Because there's a lot of Hollywood in some ideas. Because folks are making the devil out to be something more than he really is. And so we need to go to the Word of God and find out what is spiritual warfare. And I believe that if it's in the Word of God, then we should be able to see it in the life of Jesus. We should have been able to see it in Paul's life or Peter's life or, you know, those that walked this earth ahead of us. We should be able to see it. And I believe we can. So let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And I believe you're going to see, after these lessons, you're going to see a little clearer what spiritual warfare is and the effect of it and how to combat it in a more direct way. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and let's look at verse 3. Starting in verse 3, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not," what? "War after the flesh." This fight is not a flesh fight. This isn't a carnal fight. So we don't wrestle. What does it say? We don't war against flesh and blood. This isn't a fight against what? People. So it says, verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare," see, it's talking about warfare, "are not carnal, but" what? "Mighty," how? "Through God to the pulling down of strongholds." So if I say through God, it's going to have to be associated with His Word. We can't come up with some spooky way that we're going to, you know, go to the highest place, put combat clothing on, you know, swing swords, you know, imaginary swords and all of these things. There's going to be something that's spiritual on how we fight them. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, through the years, we heard all kinds of weird stuff. People getting on Boeing 747s and going to the highest point. Crazy. You know, you're just being, it's just silliness. And I'm going to share something, you know, we'll get over to this, but it's called shadow boxing. You're not hitting a direct punch. You're just wailing and flailing, but you're not hitting it directly. You're not striking your target. You're just working up something. Verse 5, "Casting down" what? Here's the fight right here. This is the spiritual warfare right here. Imaginations. "Casting down imaginations." This is what we war against. Would you not agree? I mean, every single one of us have to deal with imaginations. We may highlight a few. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity what? Thoughts. This is the warfare. Imagination, thoughts. This is what you're fighting against. See, the devil has no power to just defeat you. So all he has, his strategy, is imaginations and thoughts. Adam was not deceived, but who was? Eve was. Hath God really said? Deception. Thoughts, imaginations. This is the warfare. And what? Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of the word of Christ. Hallelujah. So this is the spiritual warfare. And I think some would think this isn't spectacular enough. But this is where you live. This is what he's trying to defeat you with. This is how he creates disunity in the body. In your home. On your job. In a ministry. You can go on and on. He comes with imaginations and thoughts. And what we need to do is do what? Weigh it against the word of God. And if it's not true, what do we do with it? Cast it down. Cast it away. See? Let me read this from the Amplified here. It says, verse 4 in the Amplified, "The weapons of our warfare are not physical, weapons of flesh and blood. Our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying sophisticated arguments." That's what they are. Sophisticated arguments. You can just turn on the TV. They've got a sophisticated argument as to why homosexuality is okay. They've got a sophisticated argument as to why certain things are okay. And we've got the church considering it. And it's like, what's the balance here? What are you judging that sophisticated argument against? What you think? You're deceived. You're deceived. Because this says here, this is the spiritual warfare, and this is what the devil is trying to do. He keeps putting these sophisticated arguments out there, and you don't have an answer. You don't have the word of God because you haven't been reading it. We haven't been feeding on it. We haven't been meditating on it. So when the argument comes up, we go, "Well, that seems reasonable." Really? Reasonable? It's a lie. And if it's a lie, then it needs to be cast down. And that's where we are in this nation. Say amen. It says, "We are destroying sophisticated arguments and every exalted and proud thing that does what? It sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought and purpose captive to the obedience of Christ." In the King James, it says, "We are casting down imaginations." Let's think about that for a minute. What's an imagination? something that's not real. It's a fantasy. It's something that's not true. It's something that's false. So an imagination is something that you are presented with that's not real. Well, how has it become not real? It becomes not true when it's put up against the light of God's word. It's shown to be false. And that's how we have to judge it and weigh it. This is the fight that we have every day. And if we don't look at the word of God, you know, you can come in and people, I mean, just think about how many people do you know have worked on a job and quit a job because they've entertained some thoughts that they didn't do me right. They should have paid me more money, and who do they think they are, and so forth and so on, and you can go on with the whole thought process. I deserve more. They shouldn't have treated me that way on this job. I quit. And how many in those situations were being looked at and considered for promotion but quit? See, it goes on all the time. And even if you weren't being considered for promotion, you entertained an imagination. You entertained a lie. Because no one came to you, and first of all, we're to treat and walk in love and do our job and work as unto the Lord. So even if I have just that scripture, even if I was treated in a way that wasn't the best, for me to entertain a thought like that and to act upon it was not God. It was an untruth. And you can see this not even in jobs. Churches split over things. Well, they shouldn't have done that. Who do they think they are? Who does the pastor think he is? I'm going to start my own church. This goes on all the time. Because thoughts, imaginations, fantasies are entertained. And we need to get a hold of it. And God is speaking to us here, I believe, to have us examine what are we thinking on? What are we entertaining in our life, in our family, personally, on our jobs, in this ministry? What thoughts are we entertaining that are not from God? So I told you, this ain't going to make you shout, but it will make us clean up some things. This is the warfare. This is where we live. This is the thing that will unravel the work of God in a home, in a job, in a ministry, in your life. And this is what the devil wants to do. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy the work of God any way he can. Any way he can. And when we entertain this stuff, it's not good. So what God says is true and real, that's what we're to weigh it against. Weigh it against his word. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 6. Because the word of God is to be what? Rightly divided. So this spiritual battle that we're in is about imaginations, thoughts and things that exalt itself, thoughts that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to read this from the Amplified. Starting in verse 10, it says, "In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Draw your strength from him and be empowered through your union with him and in the power of his boundless might." Verse 11, "Put on the full armor of God, for his precepts," talking about his word, "are like the splendid armor of a heavily armed soldier, so that you may be able to successfully stand up against all of the schemes and the strategies and the deceits of the devil." This is what we're dealing with. Schemes, strategies, and deceits. And they need to be weighed or compared against the Word of God, which is truth. Imaginations is an untruth. It's a fantasy. And so something that comes into your mind needs to be weighed against the Word of God. Amen. So the spiritual warfare, and again, this deception that we're confronted with is a real threat. This is not an imaginary threat. The schemes and strategies and deceptions are a real threat. And we need to not take it lightly. You know, like to say, well, he ain't got no power. He has deception. He may be stripped of his power to control you, but don't underplay or take lightly the deception, the strategies, and those types of wiles, because you will be deceived. Amen. Because it'll come in a way that you didn't even expect it, didn't think it was going to come that way, and you're deceived. So, as we ask the question, what is true spiritual warfare? This is what we're looking at. How is it waged against, and with what do we wage it against? Let's take a look at this here. We're in Ephesians 6. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 for a minute. It's good to go through and see how to fight this good fight. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and look at verse 11. Well, look at verse 10. It says, "To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ." Now, I just want to pull one thing out here. It says, lest Satan get an advantage of us, but this is what I want you to look at. "For we are not ignorant of his devices." See, this is what I wanted to pull out. You cannot and should not be ignorant of his devices. What is it? What are the devices? This is, you know, sometimes we try to put Hollywood to devices, you know, swords and tails and all this goofy stuff. Devices, if you look it up, that Greek word, it means, it's literally translated, mind and thoughts. Look it up for yourself. I'm going to read you what it says. It says, a mental perception, thought, an evil purpose, that which thinks, the mind, thoughts, and purposes. That's his devices. He fights you with thoughts, imaginations, and things that are imaginary. Those are his devices. And it says we are not to be ignorant of these devices. This is what Paul said. So don't underplay and say, he got no power. He has devices. And you are not to be ignorant of it. The Holy Spirit thought enough to inspire the writer to write it. Must have been important. So don't think it's a non-issue. It's an issue. It's not something we're to be afraid of or fearful of like Hollywood paints. He is already defeated. But we are to cast down thoughts that aren't true. And the same thing. You can come into a job, you can come into a home. You know, I think about sometimes when husbands and wives go through issues, or they're going through storm, or they're going through, let's say, they're going through a challenge with children, or maybe there's a physical issue where there's more pressure put on the family and the circumstances at home, and maybe there's just more pressure put on one individual than the other. That's the time they need to come together. That's not the time we butt heads. But so often, what can happen is one or the other will say, man, why are they doing that to me? I deserve better than that. Who do they think they are? Why are they talking to me that way? It gets quiet when you talk about this. Because this is where the devices of the devil is. He wants to do what? Destroy unity in a home. Now, I'm not saying that you don't discuss, but it's how you discuss and what devices are you entertaining? What thoughts and imaginations are you entertaining? I've seen, you know, we've heard story after story. We've lived some of these stories about things and strategies that come into a ministry to try to destroy and tear apart ministries. And if he can't come one way with a strategy, the devil will come another way. It may not walk through your front door. It may be in the staff. It can be in your leadership. I mean, we've heard ministry after ministry. He'll come another way. And if the individuals that he goes after, he keeps looking for somebody to entertain the thoughts. Because he's not interested in you. This isn't about you. This isn't about an individual. This is about him destroying the work of God. This is his strategy. This is his device. Unholy thoughts. I'm just telling you the truth. Hallelujah. He comes against us with thoughts. So it's, if this thought is truth, then what does it have to be compared with? Truth. If you take a truth and you don't compare it with truth, then it's just an isolated truth. And you can get in the ditch. Truth has to be compared with truth. Let every word be established in the mouth of what? Two or three witnesses. Let every word be established. So I can't just take a truth and just hang my hat on it. It must be compared with truth. So if your thought, if a thought comes into your mind and you think, that's the truth, really? Then you need to compare it with truth to see if it just, if it weighs, right? If it is true. Because if you don't, then you could be deceived. Amen. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians 4. We're right there in 2. Jump over to 2 Corinthians 4. And look at verse, starting in verse 1. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced, what is this? We have renounced the hidden things of what? Dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of what? The truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded what? The minds. This is where the deception and the deceit is. He's blinded the minds of them that are lost. And so, in order for us to be able to see something, we have to weigh a thought against the truth of God's word. Otherwise, you can be blinded. You can be deceived. Hallelujah. It said, blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So don't underestimate your enemy. Don't underestimate him. We're not to be ignorant of his devices. Let's go to 1 Timothy 6 and look at verse 1 Timothy 6. And look at verse 3, starting in verse 3. It says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to what? Wholesome words. This will be, they don't consent, they don't yield to the truth. Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing. Now look at this. But doting about questions and strifes of what? Words. This fight is about thoughts and words. Strifes of words. Whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. Verse 5. Perverse disputings of men of what? Corrupt minds. How does a mind get corrupted? Not being in other words, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How does your mind become corrupted? entertaining thoughts, deceptions, lies, and not having your mind transformed by the Word of God. Something to weigh these thoughts against. Amen. See, remember, he's about destroying you and the work of God and the plan of God. Glory to God. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to close with this and we'll pick up again. This we're going to spend some time in this area because I believe it's an area that we need to spend a little time on. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read from the King James, starting in verse 14, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. It says, "That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine." How do you not be carried around by every wind of doctrine? You compare truth or thoughts with truth, so that you're not carried about by the sleight of men and the what? Cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You know, when you see deception, deception can look very real. But how does one know that it's deceived deception? I remember Pastor Clinton, when he was alive, said something. He shared something that someone else shared. He said, "I heard someone say, 'How did you get so good spotting a counterfeit bill?' He said, 'I never studied counterfeit bills. I always studied the real thing. So when the counterfeit came, I said, that ain't real.'" So if we spend our time studying the truth, that when a lie comes, we'll go, "That ain't the truth. That ain't true. That's not in the Word." If it's not in the Word, then it's not truth, and it needs to be discarded. Verse 15. "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their" what? Their mind. This is where the fight is. "Having the understanding" what? "Darkened. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them." See, they're not staying in the Word of God. "Because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you've not so learned Christ, if so be that you've heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. That you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of" what? "Your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Verse 26 and 27. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. See, look at verse 7. Neither give place to the devil. I'm going to stop there. The Amplified says in 27, and do not give the devil an opportunity to lead you into sin by holding a grudge or nurturing anger or harboring resentment or cultivating bitterness. See, how did all of those start? Thoughts, imaginations. And you held on to something and you didn't weigh it against the truth of God's word and you cultivated it. You cultivated a thought. Let me read from some other translations. The New English Bible says, leave no loophole for the devil. The Jordan, don't give in one inch to the devil. The Weymouth, do not leave room for the devil. Berkeley, do not give the devil an opportunity. The Jerusalem Bible, never let the sun set on your anger, or else you will give the devil a foothold. The Wand translation. It is when we are, I want you to all, because we all could have been in this place. The Wand translation, WAND. It is when we are in a sulky frame of mind that the devil has his greatest opportunity. It is when we are in a sulky frame of mind. How did you get into a sulky frame of mind? You entertained imaginations and things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. We embraced it. We petted it. And we got into a sulky frame of mind and we gave him an opportunity and a foothold. Look, if we've been there, you just say, God, I entertained something I shouldn't have. I repent and do what? Kick it out. Kick it out of your mind, your house, your family, your body, your job, whatever it is. Kick it out. Because this is not about you. This is about the one that lives in you. And he has come to kill and to steal and to destroy you. And he's looking for an avenue, an opportunity for you to take hold of. And we're to do what? Lay hold not on that. It says we're to lay hold on eternal life. We're to grip that. See? The Beck's translation, don't give the devil a chance to work. Don't give him any place. I've said this, and I believe that if you think, well, I'll say it this way. When God said to the Israelites, I have given you the land. Now do what? Go inhabit it. Go possess it. Did they have a fight? Yeah, they did. They had a fight on their hands. They had an adversary. They had people that had inhabited the land, but God said, I give you that land. It's yours. Now go possess it. It's no different. He has given us healing. Possess it. There's going to be a fight to get those things that God has promised you. What imaginations are you going to entertain concerning the things God has given you. He's given you healing. He's given you deliverance in your area. He's given deliverance in your mind and your body. He's given you prosperity. He says, now possess it in my name. What are you going to allow in your thought life that's not true? See, because if you say, well, you know, maybe it's a lie. And I say the same thing. God is telling this ministry to rise up and take the land. Now, we can sit back and go, oh, yeah, I like it here. I'm comfortable. And you can, in your thinking, you can be just like the Israelites who didn't want to take the land because they didn't want to fight. And so when God says, I've already shown you where to go, we need to have the same mind that God has and the same, what does the song say? See as he sees. When Dr. Price was here in 1990, he said, the people that I'm sending can't fit here. So it's not about us. It's about a plan and a purpose that God has to reach people. And when we take hold of that, that anything that comes against that, what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do with thoughts that conflict with that? Cast it down. Spit it out. Say, no, God didn't say that. He didn't say that. I've gripped on it like a bulldog. Because we are going to see the plan of God fulfilled in your lives and this ministry's life. It's going to be fulfilled. You know, just like Moses, he didn't see the fulfillment of what God promised. Pastor Clinton is not here. He's in heaven. He will not see the fulfillment of it, but it'll come to pass. Because they saw it. God revealed it to them. They move in that direction. They moved in that direction. And God's doing the same today. He's revealing. In this ministry, he's revealing things to you personally. If he has, you don't let go. Because you will have to stand before God and explain why you did. You're going to say, why'd you let go? Did I not show that to you? Yes, sir. And the only thing you can say is, I entertained a thought. So we're going to stand against the wiles and deceits of the devil because we're not ignorant of his devices. And we are going to confront them and compare them to the Word of God. And if it's an untruth, we're going to throw it out. It may be uncomfortable for you. Let me say, yeah, but I don't want to. So is it true or not? Did he show you or not? Does the Word of God, is it true? If it's true, then you should embrace it. Right? Amen. So what are the deceits What are the devices of the devil? What is your, be not ignorant of his devices. What are they? Imaginations, thoughts. These are the devices that come against us every day. And we are to do what? Weigh those against truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you for this word. Thank you that we're growing in our knowledge of the word of God, and we're growing in truth so that we are becoming less and less and less ignorant of the devil's devices. And we thank you that by your Spirit, even if we were to miss something, your Spirit will alert us to the truth. He will lead us into all truth. And so, Father, we thank you today. Thank you that the devil is defeated in our lives. And we thank you that the purposes and plan of God will be and shall be fulfilled in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.